I'm Debbie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Apparently, there was also another Deb. So I'm sorry if you're disappointed that it's this Debbie. So we were briefly discussing beforehand, like when we get asked to do certain topics at a convention or a workshop, it's like, well, do they think I'm self-centered or do they think I handle being self-centered well? Like, which one is it? Joe had asked me to do this topic a while ago, so I was just like, oh, okay, self-centeredness. And then when he gave us the reference for it from the guiding principles, I guess this maybe is like how self-centered I am. I was like, to talk about self-centeredness in the context of the group or like living life, like just being fucking outside of yourself, and which is part of not being self-centered. I'm going to read the specific paragraph that he talked about or that he gave us to talk about. And it's in reference to tradition two. And tradition two is, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And then more specifically, the second tradition offers freedom from self-centeredness by helping us practice being a part of rather than apart from. A simple change in perspective can offer profound improvements in our relationships. Our lives can become more harmonious and loving when we consider our group purpose at home or at work. When we are willing to allow an ultimate authority above the situation and to listen for that voice. When we approach our work, families, or community organizations with a willingness to serve and cooperate rather than govern. After like reading more about that, I was like, okay, how do I get out of myself in my life, basically? Like, you know, be it, you know, at area or at my home group or in my house or with the PTO or wherever it is. And so I've been thinking about it really the last couple of days about where kind of how I got to my, beliefs or process or, you know, how I choose to interact with other people now, and, you know, was thinking of different examples of how that shows up. Like right now, I'm the treasurer of our area, and there's been, issue coming up lately that there's disagreement about at the area level. And I'm like, well, you know, how have I been dealing with that? And because I, you know, have an opinion on it clearly. And, you know, and some decisions were made at an area that I wasn't present at. And it's like, that's the way it is. There is a higher power. There is a group conscience that happens. And, you know, so like somewhere in here, it talks about, you know, when we come from a place of love that we can listen better, basically. And, you know, so that's what I try to do is, you know, like even saying, and this, I tell my sponsees this too, like, you know, come from a place of love, you know, don't be a dick. Don't be a, you know, cover yanker. Like, you know, you got to kind of like rub the back. Hi, how's it going? You know, like, you want to look at this yet? No, okay. Maybe tomorrow, you know? I guess that's like how I think of it is, you know, like even dealing with conflict, you know, at area is, you know, I can say my piece in a loving way, but it's not all about me. And there is a higher power and there is a group conscience. And so I've been thinking too, well, how did I even like come to this notion, come to accept that to be truth, you know, about coming from a place of love? And, you know, it just goes, And I was like, oh, it's because, like, I was, like, kind of come from a hippie. Oh, hi. By the way, my fucking friends that showed up, like, I love you guys so much. Like, thank you. I mean, because I was really nervous. And so I, like, love seeing you guys. So thank you so much for showing up. Yeah, I know. All two of you. Thank you. But so I was thinking, I was like, you know, this like notion of love and coming from a place of love. And it was like, well, you know, I was like a hippie, like I do have a hippie mentality. And I'm like, well, but where did that come from? And really, I mean, it goes back further. You know, I grew up in this, you know, white, like upper middle class family and can function in that society and in that culture. But I fucking hated it too, you know, and, I hated making, just relying on what the outsides looked at, looked like, and then ignoring everything on the inside. And, you know, when I finally got sick of that, I said, fuck all of it and became a punk rocker. And like, really, yeah. And like, those were my fucking people, you know, like those were, my friends when I was 12 and 13 were like my saviors, you know. They were people that I could think or tell anything to. Not all of them, of course, but like my besties, you know, were like, got it. And that's where I really got a sense of community and love, and like to just really let myself be myself. And the importance of what that was for me, for my mental stability. And that's also when I really started using a lot more. So it's sad, I guess, that they went hand in hand. And I don't know. So so I guess that was just... I guess that's what I'm saying is like that feeling of being like left out or the underdog or, you know, not belonging, and then finding people that get that which is exactly what I got in Narcotics Anonymous too. And like the beautiful things about Narcotics Anonymous that I fucking love more than anything else is that it doesn't matter who we are, where we came from, how much we used, how little we have, but only in what we want to do about our problem and how we can help. Because like there are definitely some y'all I would have used, well, I really would have used with any of you, but I mean some we like really would have used with, you know, but you know, like the love that I've gotten in Narcotics Anonymous is like no other. And the acceptance that I've gotten here is like no other. And it makes it easy, I guess. And so that's kind of where the notion of like coming from a loving place is where it's at in order to get out of myself. The freedom from self-centeredness. But I guess in the other things I wanted to talk about too, I guess because it was talking about, I guess a couple. So one other thing too is I used to say that my biggest fear was being an asshole and not knowing it. And I mean, I still don't want to be an asshole and not know it. I'd rather not be an asshole, but I would also rather know it too. But it was kind of funny because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day and that's what I was saying. I was like, yeah, you know, we're all like self-centered and sometimes it takes us a minute to snap too, you know, that like, oh, I'm being self-centered. I'm thinking it's all about me. And I kind of surprised myself with how kind of casually I said it, because it used to be such a deep thing with me, because I have been completely self-centered and not known it. And then like, oh, my head pops out of my ass and I'm like, oh, okay, look at me. Like, and, so it's, there's been some improvement, I guess, but, And the other thing too, like to me, it was, you know, talking about, you know, basically practicing, you know, having a loving God in all our relationships, or, you know, at home, at work, wherever we're hanging out. And so the other thing it made me think about too was, when I got married, you know, my husband and I wrote some of our own vows, and one of mine was, that I wanted to put in, was to always let him know what's going on with me. And I was like, oh, it seems kind of hokey, but it's like freaking vital, you know? It's vital to who I am as a person. It's vital to our relationship. It's vital to my recovery. And when I say vital, it's like, if I'm not doing that, I'm going to be fucked. And, because if I'm not doing that, I'm not being honest, with you or myself or anybody. And so, so that was one of my vows, to him. And, I don't know. So I don't know. So I guess that was, interesting. I'm trying to think what else. Hold on. Let me just look at, one thing I thought that was like kind of going back to what's going on in our area. It said, I thought this was kind of hilarious. It said, like, it's talking about, a connected group conscience recognizes the value of all its members. And it said, one member described leadership in NA as holding space for the brilliance of others. And I was like, well, that's like a lofty ideal, and allowing that brilliance to come through can be challenging. It requires us to listen, to reserve judgment, and to be open to new answers, even when we are really committed to old ones. But I guess that's something I can aspire to, hold a space for the brilliance of others. And one thing, I guess my old home group used to be the Sooner the Better, down in Houston, and it was my home group for like 10 years. And I just remember that, like, again, we always didn't agree at my home group. But what was agreed upon was that when the business meeting was over, we all loved each other and hugged each other and came together. And that's how I feel about my area now too, is like, you know, even though we don't agree, that afterwards, like, the love is unchanged, and we do all come together and hug each other and love each other. And I don't always know what's right. And so I don't know, I guess, like I said, I mean, I have opinions, and I like to talk to my sponsor, and I like to talk to other people in recovery, to see their perspectives or how they're handling certain situations, because I know that I'm not always right. I guess the other I mean, it was kind of funny reading some of this stuff, because I was like, oh, where do I really think I'm right? Or where do I get really self-centered? And I was like, oh, as a parent, because I can tell my kids what to do. but even in that realm, like, I really have to listen to what they're saying, but I also have to really listen to what they're saying about me. Like this morning, you know, I was at the convention till really late last night. They had soccer games this morning, so I didn't get, you know, as much sleep last night. And on the way back from my son's soccer game, he was like, wow, mommy, he was like, you're not grumpy today at all. And I was like, oh, yeah? And he was like, usually since you didn't get that much sleep, you know, I thought you might be more grumpy. And I was like, so I need to hear that. You know, I need to pay attention to that. I did later yell at the dogs because they were irritating me, but they were barking. But those are things, like, no matter where the message is coming from, you know, if it's my 10-year-old or my sponsor or you or some random lady in the PTO, like, you know, like I, you know, it's just like we were taught in here is, what is it? Principles before personalities. You know, it could be the person that really irritates me that's saying exactly what I need to hear. And so I have to be mindful of that and open and understand that, you know, that there is a higher power. You know, even before service meetings, you know, in my house, we don't, I mean, we're really autonomous as far as our beliefs go. So we don't do like a group prayer in my home, but you know, at service meetings, we, you know, read all the things beforehand and we say the prayer, you know, and we invite our higher power to guide us in the process. And, you know, and that's what we do. And that's, you know, what I do and how I live my life. And even in other, you know, like I mentioned the PTO a couple times, which, you know, I'm like in the PTO and, cause I'm a functioning member of society. And, but even in that organization, you know, I still apply this. I mean, we don't pray before or during the meeting or anything, but it's still the principle of listening and coming from a loving place, you know, and expressing myself and not being a dick about it. But, so I don't know. That's, I don't know, I guess what we got. And I don't.
Can you speak
up
just a little bit louder?
Oh, yes. Thank you. And then I guess just the other part of this was that, one thing that this book pointed out was the word love or loving. This is the only step or tradition that the word love is in, which I thought was interesting. And then, you know, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. I don't know. I don't really want to govern. Like, it's too much responsibility and too much effort and work. So I don't know. I don't seem to have too much of a problem with that. I do like being of service, though. And, you know, one thing that was taught to me early on was to give away what was freely given to me. And, you know, initially that was, what time is it? Initially that was, you know, as a newcomer, I didn't think I had anything to give. And as a newcomer, I thought the steps were suggestions or for like the really sick people, which I found out was myself. And, you know, so then, you know, again, because my friends that love me unconditionally, you know, let me know that I do have something to share and something to give away. You know, and then learning, you know, that the steps are for me and that, you know, that the longer I stay clean and the more I learned, the more I had to share and to give away and the more that I needed to show up and be of service, you know. And I mean, I love my fucking home group now, Happy, Joyous, and Free in the Woodlands is the best home group ever. And like, and it's, it's been, growing and like we've created service positions like, that we don't like super need, but like there is a need for somebody to have a service position, you know, so we have like a greeter, you know, which, you know, and somebody to give out schedule or, you know, get phone numbers, you know, and hand a schedule to somebody that's showing up for the first time. You know, we actually have a separate GSR, a separate treasurer. Like, you know, for a long time it was the same person. And, you know, so I just love it. And our business meetings are like super quick. We all come together, you know, like lickety split. And, you know, so I don't know, there is a loving higher power, you know, and,
what? Sorry, but we can't hear back here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I do speak.
The door keeps opening and shutting. People keep coming in and out. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I speak kind of softly too. But yeah, I don't really have much else to share. It's a good segue. yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's really just me. It comes down to me, my relationship with my higher power and my sponsor. Yeah, I don't know. I need to get out of my own way sometimes. I need to talk about what's going on with me. I need to be vulnerable. I need to be with people that I trust implicitly so that I can be 1,000% honest and let them know exactly what's going on with me so that I can get any kind of random shit out of my head so that I can be free. And that's how I get out of self-centeredness. And that's how I can come from a place of love and listen to the higher power. So that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
I don't know why I sat in the front.
Donnie?
Oh, man. I'm Donnie of an Attic.
Hey, Donnie.
I'm sitting up here with a lot of gratitude, just humbled, man, humbled from where I've came. You know, it didn't have to be like this. I remember a little over 12 years ago, I was in this area when I got clean. So Houston has a special part in my heart, man, because the way you guys brought me back to life. And when I say I celebrated 12 years, you know, but on the 28th of August, that's we celebrated that, man. I have so much gratitude. I have a lot of people in here I know. I'm so grateful, man. I feel honored. I feel like I got friends all over Texas. And, you know, this program has brought this attic back to life. And I'm just grateful. And I'm grateful you, Debbie, shared first. Man. And she read the paragraph I was going to read. So I was like, oh, man. It's like I start planning things out. I know it's going to go somewhere else. But that's okay. I'm going to read something, though, that kind of chills me out. If I can find it, and it's kind of my go-to, or it has been recently. But here's what it says in step five in the basic text. It says addicts tend to live secret lives. For many years, we covered low self-esteem by hiding behind phony images that we hoped would fool people. Unfortunately, we fooled ourselves more than anyone. Although we appeared attractive and confident on the outside, we were really hiding a shaky, insecure person on the inside. The mask have to go. And so what I want to try to do is just be myself. I asked my sponsor, my current sponsor, like, what do you suggest? And he said, man, you only have to do three things, Donnie. Only three things. Tell the truth. And so that's all I need to do. And I'm trying to just look at this group like one big home group, man. Like I'm just sitting here and I'm going to maybe take y'all hostage when I should be stopping at 5 minutes. So, that's how I'm going to try to view this right now, but we'll see how it goes. But one of the things that when Debbie was reading, it says, you know, it offers us freedom from self-centeredness by helping us practice being a part of rather than apart from. And I didn't know what a part of meant when I got here. I know that when I went into treatment, they told me to go down the hall and go to the meeting and you can probably identify with those people in there. And I went to that meeting and I didn't know what to expect, man. I'm going to tell you that I looked at the wall And I saw the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, and I immediately got a resentment against my wife and said, there she goes, put me in the wrong rehab. You know, there she goes. I, goddamn, you know, how could she be so inconsiderate? Because in my fantasy, because one of my issues is fantasy, I wanted to go into that rehab where I sit on the leather couch. I have a real attractive psychiatrist, you know. I'm talking about my fantasy right now. And she tells me it's not my fault. It's not your fault, Donnie, for the way you are. You know, you've been through some circumstances. You know, and so when I say about a part of, the reason I was so attracted to Narcotics Anonymous is because you guys brought me in here and you guys loved me, man. You're talking about a little kid who couldn't identify and couldn't get along with anybody. I was different. I felt left out, man. The kids didn't hang with me. I wasn't the cool kid in school. You know, I started my school years a year behind everybody, so my emotional maturity was already a year behind at 5 years old. You know, I just turned 5 and went into kindergarten, and everybody's happy that they're getting on the bus, and I'm crying, holding on to mom's leg. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You know, so when they talk about being an addict way before you become an addict, that's this addict. You know, I didn't have to use dope. I just wanted to feel a part of. You know, and so when I went through this whole process of trying to mask up and be who people wanted me to be, let's see, what's that? Oh, yeah, people pleasing, because I just want your acceptance, because I judge my insides by how you guys think of me. And I want to tell you, I put all that away, but it still comes up today. You know, I've learned how to get honest in here, man. I've got a home group member from my first home group, man, who used to say, Donnie, quit sharing about your job. When are you going to talk about you? I didn't like that at the time, man. Why are you coming up fucking with me, man? I'm so grateful to that woman. I have nothing but love for her, man. She said, and since she would tell me, man, why are you trying to rush out of the home group? You ever heard of the meeting after the meeting? Holy shit, man. Like, why is she posting me up again? And then she told me later, man, Donnie, they need you. This group needs you, man. They want what you have. You've been here a couple of years. You're not a newcomer anymore. So you guys, man, when I say a part of, man, you guys are this only place I felt like I could be myself, man. I don't have to mask up. I could just be. And the more honest I am with you guys, the more love you guys show me. That's what trips me out, man. The more fucked up I tell you guys I am, the more y'all got. Oh, yeah, there's some identification. It's okay, Donnie. All that stuff, man. So you're talking to an addict, man. I'm so great. Like, I couldn't. My first sponsor used to tell me, Donnie, you're going to hang out with addicts the rest of your life. You can either hang out with the ones you've been hanging with the last 31 years, doing what they do, or you can hang out with recovering addicts and try to live a new way of life. And that's what I choose today. I was tired, man. Step one talks about the beatdown. My beatdown was there. I remember what it was like the last week I got high. I don't ever want to go back to that, man. It's just easier just to do something different, man. And you know what? When it talks about a loving God, man, you know, I had to get down with, like, what does that really mean? You know, and I didn't have to believe in your God. They just said, Donnie, just believe in something greater than yourself. You know, because for a long time I was playing God, you know, and I would sit there and cause my third sponsor, who passed away in February, used to break down self-centered to me very, very, like, very simple. He said, Donnie, self-centered is when you're on that path of destruction and you don't even see what you're doing. And he goes, you know, a lot of times it's because there's too much of you between you and others, or there's too much of you between you and God. I'm grateful that he shared that with me, man, because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what self-centered mean. I just thought that everybody thought about themselves 24/7, didn't give a shit about nothing else, man. And when I got in here and I started, and when I finally got accepted because I started hanging out with the people that were doing what we did, you know, which was the slow destruction of my life, I was like, holy shit, man. All I got to do is act like these assholes, man, and people leave me alone. And they made me feel good. The more I acted out like a jerk or whatever you want to call it, the more acceptance they gave me. You know, and it was just a shitty way to live. But what happened is that little boy I told you guys about quit getting picked on. You know, people left me alone. I was able to stand up for myself. So I used those defects, man, and just took them. I just ran wild with them. You know, I figured it was easier to talk shit about you first than to let you talk shit about me. You know, and then as I grown in this process, man, I remember when I got clean at the rehab that's not even too far from here. You know, I was in there with this guy and we're still great friends today. And he went with the other fellowship. You know, that was his deal. He was drinking 24 beers a day and he just identified with them and I identified with this fellowship. And we would hang out because our wives were in the same fellowship too. You know, they did the family thing and they came in and God hooked them up and they got together. And I remember one time I called him because I had made a decision about what we were going to do that night. And I'm like telling him like my wife's name's Patty. Patty's tripping. You know, I told her we were going to do this. She didn't want to do it. And he was just quiet on the other end. And I'm like, what? Why is he quiet, man? Like, what? And he goes, well, you know, you do that a lot. Because I decided after aftercare on Saturdays, I decided where we were going to eat. I decided what movie we were going to go see. I decided everything. You know, what I realized after doing some step work, man, I am one self-centered, you know what. And all I do is like, I can, man, ask my sponsees. Ask my sponsees. They'll call me and be like, hey, what's up? Oh, shit, there it is. I'll take them. I'll just vomit on them. Everything wrong in my life with my job, with my all kinds of stupid shit. And then I've hung up before and had to call them back and be like, hey, sorry. Did you need anything? My bad. It, like, why'd you give me? Why am I sharing this today? I don't know. Like, why am I in this workshop? I don't know. You know? Come on, man. So, but I'm grateful, man, that people were able to show me some of these patterns in my life that I can do different, man. They were able to show me that I don't have to act like a certain way, man. I stay connected with you guys and I learn. One thing I do, man, is I try to put everything in my recovery like I did when I was using. You know, I am an active member in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm not bragging. I'm just doing it because you guys told me this is what you need to do. And I'm here to report this is what I've been doing. I need to share my experience. I go to meet, man, in my first meeting, my first home group, 1960 group here in Houston. I went there because they met every night. They met every night at 9:30. And I'll never forget the love that was extended by those early members there that would call me, like, because I travel a lot in my job, and they'd give me this phone call. I'd be driving to Austin, and they'd call me and say, hey, Donnie, what's going on? It'd be 8 o'clock at 9. I'm like, hey, man, not much, Johnny. What's going on with you? Hey, man, I just want to let you know that if you make it 4 more hours, you're a winner. You know, people would check in on me, man, and bring me that love. You know, and it taught me that I can reach out to others as well. You know, I'm the guy that I don't want to never raise my hand when they're asking for sponsors, man, because I was so nervous to ask my first sponsor. And I want to be that guy that makes it easy, you know, and I sponsor a lot of men. I'm blessed that I got men in my life that keeps me in the process, you know, keeps me in the process of working steps and learning how to live my life and be a better person. That's all I'm trying to do. The Narcotics Anonymous is, the drugs are what get us here, but it's really about how I'm going to live my life moving forward. You know, am I going to be Donnie Dickhead or am I going to be Donnie loving, caring, respectful? I work for a company where our purpose is to nurture bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits. This is the job, by the way, that some of y'all know that I've been talking about. They're going to fire my ass. Some of y'all are all laughing because I go in my, this is what I do. I go in my home group and I share about the shit that's eating me up because it's my deep insecurities today. You know I'm good in my job, but my disease will tell me, man, you don't have enough. I judge my insides by how my goddamn quarter went, the prior quarter, or how my week went. You know, Narcotics Anonymous told me, man, I just do the best I can. Let God play God and quit trying to play God, Donnie. Man, I try to just do the next right thing. That's what you guys showed me how to do, man. how to stay after the meeting and make sure that newcomer has a list of numbers. You know, talking to that person that keeps coming in and not sharing, but they keep coming in. You know, and if there's any newcomers in here, man, I should have shared this at the first. I want y'all to know, man, welcome. You never have to use again, even if you want to. I heard that the first 30 days I was in that treatment center. I'm grateful for the H&I people that came in there and brought the meeting, man. That came in there and shared the message of that we don't have to live this way anymore. I actually do H&I now at a rehab once a month. I get the honor of going out there and carrying the message in there just like it was carried to me, man. You know, they told me five things. Go to meetings, pray and meditate, read the literature, work steps, call your sponsor. I don't know if anybody in here, does y'all sponsor know that you're their sponsee? You know, like shit like that they'd say to me. Like, do they know or do, yeah, do they know? Because I got sponsees in here right now. I know they're my sponsees. They call me on a regular basis. They communicate. They help me more than I could ever help them. And the last one that they talk about is be a service. And you know what I did? I went, I got that one. I've been in the restaurant business my whole life. I've been in the restaurant business 40 years. I got service down. I don't need to do no, like, I can just check that one off the list, you know? And I remember my first sponsor in the rehab, he would be saying, hey, Donnie, why don't you just show up and clean up the coffee bar? And it was in this big room. And won't you help rearrange the chairs? I had a sponsee ask me earlier today, hey, can you help me move some things? I'm like, I gotcha. Like, it's come second nature to me. You know, now, of course, I went OCD with my sponsor when he asked me to do that. I told him how many damn chairs were in the room and how I spaced them out perfectly. I applied some of that restaurant experience to it, you know. Let me show you what I know kind of shit, you know. Because my ego likes to kick in there, too. Had a guy tell me, he said, Donnie, your ego's not your amigo. That shit hurt my feelings, man. It is not my, and then he said, hey man, ego just stands for edging God out. What does your God want you to do? I know what mine wants me to do. He wants me to be loving, caring, and respectful. He wants me to carry the message, and he wants me to fan the flame of that addict that just doesn't know what's up yet. Because I tell you what the greatest thing for Narcotics Anonymous is for this addict, is I get to come in here, man, I get to watch people come back to life. I get to watch the people after me, like, keep coming. You see the flicker on the little light bulb, and then all of a sudden the light bulb goes off. They're fucking chairing meetings. They're there for the home group. They're at group conscious. They're giving you shit about not going to group conscious. Thank you, Veronica. That's noted. You know, I need that, man. There's accountability that comes with carrying a message. That's how I see it. It's a, you know, I heard a speaker one time say, I treat my recovery like my job and my job like my hobby. And I was like, man, that's some good shit. Because I was like, what would it look like if I went into my job? I had a good attitude.
I don't know.
What would it look like if I went in there and I looked at everything that was going on right instead of wrong? What would it look like? And, you know, restaurant business, believe it or not, people do drugs in restaurants. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. What would it look like if they knew this guy right here could help them with that issue if they wanted the help? And then I'm a resource. I don't hide my recovery. I don't, like, my anonymity for me means that we're all equal. I don't try to, like, I don't go around and wear NA shirts at my job, but I also don't hide if someone asks, like, what's going on. I don't hide it from my boss. I don't hide it from anybody. I use literature on my boss. When he tells me you need managers for this restaurant, what's going on? I'm like, hey, I got it, Steve. I understand the seventh tradition. We need to be fully self-supporting. I get it. I'm not asking you for shit. You know, and that's exactly what I say to him. And then I tell him, man, I use this one a lot. I don't think this is in the literature, but it sure is in recovery. Nothing changes if nothing changes. I use that with my managers I manage. You know, because sometimes what I try to do today is I try to talk to people with and let them feel and see my heart, man. Can you feel my heart and know that I'm not trying to beat your ass up? I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm talking to you as an equal. And what can I do to help you? Whatever problem that is. You know, but it said right here, she read it a minute ago. When we try to approach each other with our service with kindness, care, and concern, and to find courage to reach out to each other with honesty and compassion, man. I was told that I could say anything I want to anybody as long as they can feel my heart and I'm doing it with compassion. You know, I can say anything I want as long as I come from a place of love. You know, my God, man, when I was telling you guys earlier, just how grateful I am, man, it didn't have to be this way. You know, I'm not confused about coincidences. I was sitting here looking at her book. It says Brené Brown, and someone sent me a quote on a thing on Brené Brown. I'm familiar with her, and it was just talking about being your authentic self. Someone sent that to me this morning, and he's actually sharing here as well. So I'm like, I see these. I don't know if that's a coincidence. I don't think it is. I think that's God saying, hey, man, just be yourself, Donnie. You know, that my uniqueness is my God-given talent, man. Whatever that uniqueness is for you is your talent. It's what God wants you to have, man. I cannot give back to Narcotics Anonymous enough. You know, I can apply these principles in all areas of my life. She was mentioning soccer this morning. I get a Marco Polo from my daughter, and my grandkids are playing soccer. Now my 5-year-old's playing, and my 3-year-old grandson's playing, my 5-year-old granddaughter. My 5-year-old granddaughter last year, and I shouldn't tell you all this, but I'm going to just tell you because I probably shouldn't have said it. My 5-year-old granddaughter's in a game last year, and all of a sudden she's like, you know, she's picking her nose and having a little snack during the meeting. You know what I mean? I'm during the game. And I'm like, God, man, like, come on, Jay. But she's playing today because she's getting after it, man. She feels more comfortable, man. And then my grandson gets out there and he's doing all this and she's Marco Polo live and he's getting out. He's aggressive and he scored a goal. It was on the other team, though. But you know what? It's okay.
Come on.
I'm going to encourage him, man. That's okay. Stay aggressive. Keep doing what you're doing, Jet. You know, you're not out there eating snacks like your sister, man. God damn, life's good.
Okay.
You know? How can I look? Because you know what? I could tell you that, man. I remember coaching my own kids soccer. And, man, there was a lot of criticizing after the game to my daughters, man. I don't forget how I treated my kids. Like, you know, even when they scored and did well, I always had to critique everything that they didn't do, you know? And I've asked myself today, even when I'm applying these principles in all areas of my life, do I want that for myself? Do I want somebody to point out every damn thing I'm doing wrong? That's not what God wants. He doesn't want me doing it. And I don't want that happening to myself. So, you know, when I'm able to show up and practice these principles, because, you know, our theme is a spiritual awakening. It didn't say a spiritual gathering, like all of a sudden we come here and we get a spirit. We've had the spirit all along, but we killed it through our active addiction. And now we're bringing it back to life by applying this program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, these steps are what brings it into my life, and it's these steps that I continuously do. You know, when I was telling y'all about service, I'm going to tell you, and I'll say this, when I first started doing service in Narcotics Anonymous, it was the same exact reason that I started hanging out with those kids that were doing the wrong thing. I wanted to feel a part of. I just wanted to feel like, man, let me be a part of. I didn't want to try to run anything. I just wanted to feel a part of. I wanted acceptance, man, because I still struggle with some self-acceptance issues today. That self-acceptance goes deep, man. You know, I can, I, like I said, I can, I can just be so critical of myself. And if you guys were ever to tap into my brain, y'all be like, what is wrong with you, man? Why are you thinking those things, man? I can just kick my own ass all day with my own thoughts, you know? But if I stay plugged in and I answer my phone and I reach out to others and I go to meeting and I work steps and I process steps and I just do the things that you told me to do, my life gets better, man. And it has gotten better. And I love what Brandon shared last night. Whatever you're doing, do more. And here's how this addict is. The more that I put into my recovery, the better my life gets. It took a long time for those dots to get connected. And let me tell you, man, long time. And I can go and be in a meeting now or in a service commitment, and I don't have to run the show. Have y'all ever heard the spiritual principle of fuck it? Y'all, anybody have that one? Because I do. And I don't mean it like people go fuck off and fuck yourself. I mean like, fuck it, that's not my shit. I don't have to engage in that bullshit. I don't have to try to control an outcome. Because when I do that, all I'm going to do is make everybody, even if I get my way, I'm just going to piss everybody off around me, man. That's not who my God wants me to be. You know, I have to go in there and use my love, my compassion, and use the tools that this program teaches me. So I don't know. The other thing I wanted to say is like when I'm being truly of selfless service, you know, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm doing the right thing for the right reason. You know, I'm practicing some goodwill. I know in my heart, I don't know if you guys, man, when I do stuff that's not right, it just doesn't sit well with me. It's like when you know you need to make amends and you're like, I'm not making, you know, ego kicks in. I'm not, fuck them. I'm not making that amends. And then you don't sleep all week. You don't sleep all week. And then when you finally make amends, your heart opens up and it's like, damn, Donnie, why didn't you do that a week ago? I'm too damn old to be missing sleep. I need my sleep. Shit. It's important to this addict. So I wanted to, I guess the only other thing I would say is that being in this process, the unity, man, it's so important that we all just give that love out, man, and make us all feel a part of. That's the only way that this program works, is that we may, you know, reaching out to the newcomer, answering the phone, you know, including others. Maybe someone just so shy, you know, getting them out of their shell, man. You know, I tell you, we had a person in one of the groups I go to, and I've never heard this lady share, and she finally shared, man, and it was just kick ass, really kick ass. And I was just thinking, damn, man, that's awesome. And I wanted to make sure I went over to her and told her how great and how much I appreciated her sharing, because now we're bringing that girl to where she's getting comfortable, to where she can open up. And we can, because you know what? We're not mind readers in this fellowship. We can't read your mind what's going on with you. You got to have, it takes courage to come in here and tell a bunch of dope fiends how messed up you are and how you're thinking. So I'm grateful that you guys made me feel a part of, that unity was displayed, and that you made me feel like, hey man, Donnie, you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You are welcome here. You know, and you never have to use again, even if you want to. You know, I'm so grateful that I can still come in here wherever I go and feel a part of. I have a job where I travel, man. And it's funny that I have been going to some locations that I oversee for years and years. And I don't know those people that I've been seeing for the last 15 years. I don't know them like I do if I stop into an NA meeting. You know, there's that immediate identification, that immediate, you know, camaraderie, everything, you know, and I never have to be alone. And listen, you're talking to the addict that wants to sit in his hotel room and watch Netflix and chill, you know, and wants to escape. Not that kind of chill, Lisa. God damn.
Come on, Donnie, don't you?
Let me go to my current fantasy right now, or my current obsession.
Go ahead. I'm right here.
Thank you. I have a Facebook that I opened up like in 2009, and I got on it and I saw the shit, and my wife would hand me, like when my kids were in college, hand me her Facebook, and I'd go down these rabbit holes, man. Like, Like, I'm not looking at my daughter planking in a bar. I'm watching my daughter's friend from second grade's kid. Or, you know, like, I'm just looking at shit that just would take my time. And so now this thing came out about 6 months ago. Well, it's probably been out a lot longer than that. But about 6 months ago, I get this thing called TikTok.
Oh.
God damn, man. I want to get stuff done, man, and then I will get on TikTok, man, and next thing you know, it's an hour later, and I'm irritated because I'm not getting my stuff done like I should be doing it. I'm running late. I'm speeding to get somewhere I'm supposed to be at a certain time. I'm doing stupid shit, you know, because my disease, man, I just want to escape all the time, you know? So it's like, damn, man, that social media is something else. I stayed away from it for years, but it's got my ass now, man. And then I've had sponsees tell me that when they're on Facebook and they go through the bullshit of Facebook, that they'll delete the app and stay off of it for 3 months. And I keep saying to myself, I'm going to delete that app. But goddamn, it's got me, man. Because I want to laugh. I want it, you know, and I'll listen. I can justify like the rest of them. So I'm going to look at a good workout video before I go to the gym. I'm going to look at some motivation. I'm going to look at some spirit meditation. There's all kinds of good shit on there. I'm looking at this shit that just makes me want to fucking laugh, man. You know, and I have to be okay with that today. You know, at least I'm aware. I guess when I put down the pen and I stop doing my step work altogether, then maybe when that pain comes in, I'll do something different, man. Because pain's a motivator for this addict. Sometimes my procrastination will just go and go and go, and that pain will keep getting more and more, and then I'll have to do something different. So, and I'm grateful for that. So anyway, I want to just thank again, Hackna, for asking me to share. I want to thank all of you for being in here, man. It seemed like just one big ass meeting in my home group, and I love you guys, and thanks for allowing me to share.